We learn Dhamma simply, and our heart can understand Dhamma if our heart is gentle, respectful. If our heart is stiff, or you are proud of yourself, you think yourself good, you cannot accept more into you. In Eastern culture, the way that we respect teachers is a kind of practice of training oneself. We don't use your big ego to learn Dhamma. Long Pu Man said that you show your fang like a dog, or show your tusk like an elephant. They are both animals. So when you learn Dhamma, our heart must be gentle and respectful to the teacher. Our culture of paying homage with our head. In other countries, they also bow to show respect. The heart that is gentle and respectful is open to new learning. The heart that is prideful, it cannot accept more. It can contain only what it already has. So when we meet with a teacher, we realize that as long as we are still suffering in our life, we are not good enough. As long as we still have unhappiness, we still need to learn more. We need to learn. Don't stop to learn. Learn yourself in your heart. What impurities are in your heart? What impurities are gone? Some of them, if they are gone completely, or some of them are gone temporarily. So those impurities are gone or suppressed by your mental power or suppressed by your moral precept. So you can suppress the impurity either by moral precept. You keep precept and insist to yourself that you won't break the precepts. Or when your mind is more powerful with concentration, the impurities are suppressed. Those kind of suppressions, whenever the energy of concentration reduced, the impurity will come up again. It can be compared to a war. If you go to war, and if you are still weak, you need to avoid the enemy. That's how you use the moral precept to fight with impurities. So you avoid the people or the things that is the enemy. If someone is beautiful, you want to control yourself, you don't go too close to those who are beautiful or those who make you angry. It's like a wall. In the first step, you retreat when you are still weak. In times of previous masters, there's one monk who go and see a woman who's beautiful. He loved her, and then when he come back and when he meditate, that's the image of her. He want to go to her, want to leave monkhood. So he retreat, he go to somewhere else, go away from her. So that's how you fight with the moral precept. That monk retreat to another village, but incidentally, that girl followed him to that village. So eventually, they married. So even you retreat, sometimes you cannot get away, and you lost the war. So, but when your heart is stronger with meditation, with concentration, when you are more, your heart is stronger, it's like you get into the fortress. When you are in the fortress, you are strong against the enemy outside. When your mind is concentrated, the impurities cannot fight you. But when the concentration weakens, impurity can overcome the mind. And for the next step, when you have wisdom, it's not the wisdom from reading books. Those kind of wisdoms are not enough. Like you read books by Venerable Paiyut, a very famous monk in Thailand. You understand the principle of Buddhism, but by just theory, that's not enough to fight the defilement. Is the wisdom of thinking, wisdom of listening. We call Suttamaya Panya, the wisdom from listening, or Chintamaya Panya, wisdom from thinking. Although you understand, if you understand, you know, you will anticipate when you meditate that if you meditate like this, you will find this meditate to that next step. You will find that that's too much theory slip into your practice. That's not good. The wisdom that you need to use is the wisdom from insight, from seeing. Insight means you go in and see exactly the true nature, the nature of the three characteristics. So when you see by insight, you need to see the phenomena first. You need to recognize this phenomena. There are 72 types of phenomena. This is already a summary, 72. Sometimes it's expanded into 150 phenomena. Some phenomena are consciousness. One is a nibbana, one is consciousness. And there are some physical forms. There's 18 inherent physical forms. Some like the gender. There are also the 52 types of mental factors. There's 18 physical forms. There are 52 mental factors. We don't experience all 52. We experience like greed, hatred, and delusion. Those bad mental factor. But some sublime, some subtle, jhana, deep concentration mental factor, you don't experience those. Those difficult names of subtle concentration factors. We observe only those we can see. See some of the forms that you understand, that you recognize, some of the forms or some of the mental factors that you can recognize. If you are not true Buddhist who see the arising of consciousness, you may misunderstand that consciousness is permanent. But actually, consciousness or the mind occur and drop one by one all the time. The mind or the consciousness come up and drop down, come and drop all the time. It's difficult to see. The mind is difficult to understand. For physical forms, those physical forms are easier. There are the four fundamental forms, like the four fundamental forms, the earth, the water, the wind, the fire. It's difficult to see, to understand. Like in our spit, in our tongue, it's watery, there are water elements. But actually, in our spit, in our mouth, they have both the watery element and earth element. The water element is the cohesion of the molecules. There are also the wind element, how something flow. So it's difficult to see those four elements. It's hard to see the fundamental four elements. So even you rest your hand, your arms, and touch your wrist, do you feel the softness, the weight? Or you press? Do you see that it's harder when you press it? You see the earth element increase. When you press it, the earth element increase. This is difficult to understand. So earth elements are not those earth or sand. The water elements are not just water. So the fundamental nature of elements is hard to study. So when we study it, when we learn it, we learn from other derivative forms. We call the posture. This posture changing your body posture, that's easier to observe. You may not observe the four elements, but you instead observe this moving posture. The Buddha teach the breathing in and breathing out. Breathing out and breathing in, that's a kind of posture. There's a clear comprehension meditation which you observe when you sit, when you stand, when you walk, when you lie down. Okay, the second type called the posture meditation. The third meditation is a clear comprehension, which you observe the minor posture, like you move, you stop, you nod. To practice this correctly, you need your mind to separate and observe this posture. So this is the first type of wisdom, when you can separate the form and the mental. When you can separate the physical and mental phenomena, that's the first step of wisdom. Or when you meditate by breathing out and breathing in, there's a breathing out and breathing in as an object, and there's your mind as an observer. So you seeing the breathing out and breathing in, the mind is seeing, and the breath is seen. Or when you observe walking, sitting, standing, and lying down, your mind is an observer, and the bodily postures are what is seen. So when you move your hand move up, move down, it move, it stop, you feel, you see it move, so you see it stop. The mind is the observer. When you move your hand, the body move, the physical form move, the mind observe. You stand, you walk, you sit, you lie down. It's called posture meditation. Or when you're breathing it out and breathing in, that's the breath meditation. Don't look down on these posture forms. Some who learn too much say that these posture are not fundamental forms. But actually you use this kind of posture for meditation. When you observe this posture, eventually you will see that this posture, this breathing out and breathing in, is not yourself. You see that this form and that form is not yourself. It's just something you observe. And eventually you understand that every kind of forms, those are not yourself. In your daily life, you only breathe out or breathe in, breathe out and breathe in. Or you stand, or you walk, you sit, you lie down. All the time you are in either one of those. If you can meditate with those posture, you can meditate all day, all the time. You will see that those body, those forms are just moving. It's not yourself. This body is not your, it's not you. You can separate them out. Eventually you will see it. Fundamental nature. It's hard to see the earth element, the water element, the wind or the fire element. So we observe the posture instead. Breathing in, out and breathing in. Stand, walk, sit and lie down. These are the four main postures. All day long, there are just bodies stopping or body moving. If you see that your body moving or stopping, it's not you, it's not self. So Long Pao always teach you to have the mind as an observer. The mind observe the moving, the changing of physical and mental phenomena. The mind see, the mind observe. You need to practice this. How can you achieve the observing mind? This is called mental training. Someone train in their moral conduct, moral precepts, and skip to train in wisdom. They forget to train in the mind. So they have the wrong mind. They don't have the observing mind, the wrong type of concentration. They cannot really develop wisdom. They can only get samatha, but not wisdom. For example, those who practice in the style of Long Po Tien, Long Po Tien taught you to move your body, move your hand. The main focus is not the body. The focus is the mind. Let the mind see. The mind is mindful of the moving body. Long Po move the hand, move the arm. Your mind come to my arm. If your mind come to your arm, you realize that you might go into your arm, or you might go off to think. You realize that, oh, you go off to think. Even you move your hand, move your posture correctly, but your mind forget yourself. That's not correct. Or if you focus too hard, you want to be mindful all the time. You are greedy. You want to practice right all the time. That's not correct. So I always teach you, just have some home meditation. When your mind go off that object, be aware. When your mind focus in, be aware. So there are two ways to practice and observing mind. The first is to practice jhana or deep meditation, deep concentration. The second way is easier for you. You practice momentary concentration. You can do practice momentary concentration by have a meditation like mantra, or you are breathing in, breathing out, or your abdomen moving up and down, or you move your hand. You move your hand to be mindful, not to just know your hand. Some focus into the hand, some forget themselves, go off to think something else. Those both ways are wrong. You focus on a single object, I call it over-focusing. So when you meditate on some object and you focus in, you aware that you are focusing, or your mind go off to think, be aware that it go off to think. Whenever you realize the mind go off, your mind will become awake for a moment. Then if you practice enough, later your mind will be aware automatically. Your body moves and then you are aware automatically. Your mind go off to think, you are aware automatically. Whenever your mind go off and you are aware, the mind become stable observer instantly. So the wandering mind has a kind of definement. Whenever you are mindful and you recognize the moving mind, when you recognize it, your mind will go right into the stable state. This stable of the mind is it called concentration. Don't translate concentration as peaceful. Concentration is stability. It's the opposite of sleeping off, wandering off. Your mind can wander off to think something else, or your mind wander and focus in onto an object. So when you practice a kind of some type of meditation, and then you forget, you go off to think, be aware of that. When you're focusing in, focusing at your abdomen, you be aware. Breathing in, breathing out, be aware. I often say that don't go and focus in the breath. If you focus at the breath, you will just have a samatha, calm meditation. You won't achieve inside meditation. You need to be aware. Don't intend to be aware. Just be aware automatically. For some special people who can practice deep concentration or jhana, for those people, they breathe in, breathe out, long breathe out, breathe out first, not breathe in first. You start with breathing out first. It's less tense. If you breathe in first, it's too tense. Do you see that, like when you are stressful, you sigh. That's kind of breathing out. It relaxes yourself. So the way the Buddha teach, he said, breathe out and be aware. Breathe in, then be aware. He start with breathing out. So if you If you are, you get used to breathing in first, put in and throw out. You start with breathe out first, then breathe in, put, and breathe out, throw. So you can start by breathe out anyway. When you practice breath meditation, when you practice for a while, you start to concentrate. The breathing is less and less when you become concentrated. You breathe less. When there is less mental activity, you don't need a lot of energy. You just breathe a little, just to maintain the body. This breath is called the preliminary sign of meditation. It's like a bed, a start, an ignition from concentration. When your mind start to concentrate, you feel the mind is a little brighter. It's calmer, peaceful, and bright. At that time, you don't focus on the breath. You observe the light in front of you instead of the breath. In this way, you will just practice on this light, this ball of light. You can increase its size. It's a kind of exercise or a sport that you can increase and decrease the size of the light ball. This light ball is called counterpart sign, that scalable sign, that you can change the size of this light ball. You will be happy and concentrated and one-pointed with a singleness of mind. You achieve the first jhana. At that time, it will let go of that light ball. It will return to observe the mind, to the feeling of our happiness, and then your mind will attain the singleness of mind, or ego tipava, or one-pointedness. This second jhana is different from the first. In the second deep concentration, it's similar. It has a stability of mind. And if you observe that those zest or strong happiness is to swinging, and it will let go of those happiness, eventually it attain equanimity or neutrality. Then the mind is neutral, equanimous. And then you can use this mind from the deep concentration for insight too. If you want to practice insight within this concentration, you need to observe your mind. There are enemy of each of the four jhana, four deep concentration. For happiness is the enemy of the fourth jhana. So the property of the lower jhana is the enemy of the higher jhana. Like the listening or noise is the enemy of the first jhana. When you go to attend the noise, you drop away from the first channel. So this teaching is for those who want to get the strong observing mind, that you can, for those who can practice deep concentration. Those who practice to the second jhana, when you go out from this jhana, you can maintain a stable of mind for a few days. There's a kind of concentration, like compassion, loving kindness meditation. Those can achieve jhana without any sign, any light bulb. There's no light bulb if you practice compassion or loving kindness, metta meditation. If you, this is when I, what I teach you is a correct jhana, correct meditation. If you practice the wrong, the incorrect meditation, you will not observe anything. It's just silent out. So when what you obtain from this is the stability of mind. If what I'm teaching is too difficult, is just forget it. Just see when your mind go off, when your mind focus in, be aware. You go off to think, be aware. When you are aware, you obtain the stability of mind. Then you can practice inside. When you observe the body, you will see that the body is one thing and the mind is another thing. The body is observed, the mind is the observer. The body is not human, not being, not animal, just a physical mass. You see that the body is not self. Like when you brush your teeth, sometimes you observe that, oh, when you're brushing, this arm that is moving, is brushing. This is just a physical mass of arm that's moving and brush your teeth. Don't look down on momentary concentration. There are fewer people who obtain deep concentration. Most achieve enlightenment through momentary concentration. So today I talk a lot about moving hand. I'm not criticizing the style of Lung Pho Thien, but Lung Pho Thien is a great monk, the monk that achieved to the top, but the disciple, those who follow him, many of them don't practice like him. They are not aware. You should be aware of your moving body. For me, I practice to start with breathing out and breathing in. I didn't start with hand movement like him. This moving body, the moving body is moving and the mind is observing. And while it's moving, the mind is happy. You are aware that the mind is happy. The mind is calm. You are aware that it's calm. Or the mind is wandering. You are aware that the mind wanders. The later you will see that all phenomena, all physical and mental phenomena, they are not self, just something that you observe. There are only two meditation that are actually wrong. the meditations that are wrong, like you look outside of yourself, like you look at the crystal ball, or some strange meditation that the Buddha didn't teach. There are strange schools, like you use fire to burn defilement. You cannot use fire meditation to burn your defilement. That's not what the Buddha teach. Observe the body, observe the mind, observe your feeling, observe the good and bad mental activity. In the phenomena contemplation, in that the fourth foundation, the phenomena contemplation, there's one group of hindrance, meditation on hindrance, or meditation on enlightenment factors, or meditation on the five aggregates, or meditation on the dependent origination. For that, you observe the phenomena arise from one phenomena to the next phenomena, beginning from avijja or ignorance. This 12 chain of dependent origination. From taint arise the ignorance, and from ignorance arise taint. Some Buddha, when he meditate, he observe this phenomena. Why? Where does formation come from? Formation come from ignorance. When one understand these phenomena truly, they can break the cycle of rebirth. So when you practice Dhamma, don't be proud of yourself. If you are proud of yourself, you cannot accept and learn new thing. So for an observing mind, the mind is a stable observer. And no one can do it for you. You need to do it yourself. You observe the your meditation. When you might go off from that meditation, be aware. When you go off the thing, be aware. It's like a mouse, a cat chasing a mouse. Your mouth go off the mouth, the cat chase after it. You need to let the mind think first. Let the mind go off first, then be aware. You need to learn to study with care. There are many things to be aware. Don't try to hold, don't try to keep the state of practice. A few decades ago, I was at a temple. I observed the phenomena in my chest. Something happened in my chest, and my mind go in to observe. I want to observe, so my mind sink in to observe. My mind sink in to the chest. I observe only those movements in the chest, but I wasn't aware that my focus sink into the chest. So Longpo Khun told me that you shouldn't think in, you shouldn't focus in. That's not your mind. Your mind is outside, your mind is at the top. So I misunderstand. I thought that, oh, so the observer is at the top. I will focus at the observer. So when I focus at the observer, it becomes the object. And another observer rise up. So it's like recursively, like one mind is an observer, another mind be observe, and it changes place again and again, deeper and deeper. It sunk into bad habit of observing the mind. When mind is observed, and a new mind become an observer, and that become observed, something observed, and another mind become observer. So I go to talk with Longpo Khun. I want to find fault with him. What did you teach me? I open the door, and he opened the door at once. I'm going to talk him. He's called me first. What kind of practice? You practice wrong. I said, you taught me like that. The observer is at the top. And he told me, no, I didn't tell you to do it like that. So I complained, why don't you speak it clearly? So I practiced, made a mistake, and that mistake cost me a few years. It's a bad habit that I stuck with me for a few years of returning back to observe the observer. Okay. Sending homework. People in the temple first. Don't try to keep it. Don't try to make it calm. Don't try to make it stable. Just be aware that the mind go off. Don't try to keep it with you all the time. If you want to hold it, you want to make it right all the time, you will make this mistake. Don't hold it. Don't keep it at one place. You will be stiff. It's the wrong observer. Do you observe the thinker? You think a lot. You the type that think a lot. The meditation that fits you is to observe the mind. The mind change all the time. The mind move and change. Be aware of that movement. Be aware of good thought and bad thought. So every day, don't forget to meditate formally. If you keep observing with insight, that's too hard. You need to have formal practice to gain energy. Do you see that you are suppressing? You are stiff inside. Meditate, and when your mind go off, be aware. Observe the activity of the five parts, five aggregates. It become aware, and sometimes it forget, and then it aware. Normally, I practice with Puto, chanting Puto, Puto. Then I get stuck with focusing. So I couldn't sleep. Then when I listen to your teaching, I change my practice, change to be just aware, relax. There's a Kunme Chandi who is the sister of Longta Mahabua. She practiced very well. She once asked me how Longpo practiced. We both attain the same state. She used Puto, although Longpo used breathing, but she used Puto. It's the same principle that when the mind go off from the object, be aware of that mind. I observe the mind. Some defilement come, and sometimes I didn't realize there's many defilement impurities. Sometimes I aware of them, but it still stay. Sometimes I was deceived by those defilement. So for the last few days, when I stay at the temple, I review the teaching of Dong Po and read some books. These phenomena are like the movie film. One film change to the next image, the next slide, the next slide. One slide go up and one drop out, moment by moment. It can understand, it can practice. So the environment of the temple is supportive to your meditation. That's why you can observe this phenomena. When you go back home, it will be hard for you to practice like this. At this moment, the previous moment is good, but now it's not good. Now a little focusing. Don't over-focus. When you practice, don't try to control. Change from controlling to just be aware. Be aware the mind is good or bad, happy or sad. Your habit is too much control. A little too much control, but not a lot. Too still. But the best mind is a normal mind, the most natural mind. The excessive mind is the mind of practitioner. You want a natural mind. Something happened to your mind, just be aware. Now you are thinking, that you just think, you are aware of the thinking. Don't try to control it still. Now you are pulling it back, pulling it at the center, it won't develop. His Amitomark 2 years ago, he changed the object. He changed frequently, but not sure whether it's right. The object of meditation is not the main focus of study. What we want to study is the mind that observes the object. If you change object too frequently, you cannot observe the mind clearly. If you have one or two, that's fine. If you have too many types of object, you won't understand your mind. You have the object of meditation only to help you study your mind. If you breathe and you observe the breathing, you see how your mind interacts with the breath. Then you can develop wisdom. The wisdom will see, sometimes it see the body, it change, the body is not us. Sometimes it see feeling is not us. Sometimes it see good and bad activity, those good and bad activities are not us. If you change object too frequently, you cannot catch your mind. So the objective is not to be calm, to be good. The objective is just to be aware, to be mindful, to see your mind, insight into your mind, insight into your body. Body is not us. The feeling is not us. The defilement is not us. You shouldn't use too many type of objects. One or two is good. Three, at the most is three. Don't use too many, no more than three. If you have too many houses, you drive from one house to the next house, you don't have time to stay at your house. It will be hard to practice. Like you change home, you move from this object to the next object, just one or two is good. Choose the one that is comfortable, that fits you. choose the one that fit you, that is happy to you. You cannot practice all 40 meditations. If you are skilled in a few of them, you can practice more, like the 10 type of kasin or pureness. Number five. He's better not go out. Ah, good. Better than yesterday. Keep practicing. When your mind go off, be aware. Go off, be aware. You get the mind that stay. Then when you realize the body, you will see that the body is not us. The feeling, happy and sad, is not us. Defilement is not us. It's just something that you observe. There is no us. She likes to practice think positively. Try to think positive. I'm not sure that this suppressing. Think positively is a good thinking. Good thinking is a good mind, but that's not bring to wisdom. You need to be brave. When your mind to problem, lot of problem, you can think positively. That good thinking help you as a kind of samatha. It's not inside. You can use it for some time. When you are brave enough, let it be naturally. Just observe it as they are in their natural state. You can think good, even something like you are a Miss Universe, but you are not really. You need to observe the truth. Don't think good. Good thinking help your emotion, but it won't bring insight. I once wrote sometime long ago, optimistic will bring happiness, right will end suffering. Optimistic will bring happiness, but correct or right will can end suffering. I sent my homework 6 months ago. I walk, meditate, and during the day, I observe my breath. I see that the progress or decline of the mind. Sometimes, whatever I do, it won't improve. It's like I don't know how to meditate at all. But lately, I find that, I practice better. I cannot make it good. It improved by itself. If you meditate and it improves all the time, you will mistake that, you are great. You can control it to be good. On the other hand, if you practice constantly, even though you practice constantly, it sometimes improves, it sometimes declines. If you understand that you cannot control it, the mind is not yourself. Even you practice constantly, it improves and it declines. So it declines. Even you practice, that's good. But if you are lazy and it declines, that's not good. You practice correctly. If you have questions, you can listen to the CD. There's all the answers. There's all the answers necessary for practice. There's no answer what's the number of the next lottery. Yesterday, I came and submit homework. You observe that your mind changed. Do you see that it changed? There's change in your mind. Practice more. Your mind expanding. Do you see that it's expand out? Be aware that it's spread out. Breath in, be aware, comfortably, softly, gently. Do you see the mind is different now? At the previous state, it's comfortable, too comfortable. When it returns back to the body, you will see the truth, that the suffering in the body, in the mind. If your mind spread out, this will just be happiness. You won't see the truth. Don't try to pull back. Let it return comfortably. If you try to pull it back home, it won't be correct. It's not a prison. You will be tired if you try to keep it in the prison. This is enough. It's 10 o'clock. I teach a lot today.